Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How's it, guys? It was another exciting weekend of Six Nations rugby. Pretty controversial. Today on the show with me, Jean de Villiers, Matt Stevens, British and Irish Lions legend, on a special episode of the Six Nations. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. You're going to enjoy it. Matt Stevens, full of fun, full of stories. The box office is now open. Incredible weekend we've had last week. Matt Stevens is here to join us. With Jean de Villiers, I clearly didn't get the memo on the outfits. It's 32 degrees and the boys are wearing jeans. How's the sweat there looking, boys?
It's dripping. It's fine. The two of us are fine. It's more, I mean, if you were...
Well, he dressed appropriately.
He did.
Yeah.
Because of the...
You got to back me up on this one, Matt.
No, I mean, you're...
Because of what?
You're a beautiful specimen.
Because of what?
No, it's because of... I don't want to be that guy.
Okay, Matt, first
I'm
time...
I'm surrounded by front rows, yeah. I'm a little bit
outnumbered. First time on the show, Bishops again, memories of playing here or coming through here? I know you played up the mountain at GCT.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful to be here, gents. Thanks for the invite. It's only taken you 3 or 4 years to welcome me into the studio.
We've been going for 6 months, yeah. But thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching for the last four years. I just mean all your various exploits. I mean, all I do is see you on TV. I think, well, maybe one day I'll get the invite, but yeah. Thanks.
It's like when you used to work at that place close to Paul. I never got the invite either.
I think you did.
No, you didn't.
Okay, sorry.
You just told us a story off here about COVID and the Bushendal wine and the keys to the cellar.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there was this guy with the keys to the cellar.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy, what was his name?
Yeah, I mean, allegedly, he had the keys to the cellar of the Bushendal wine farm during COVID. It wasn't me.
No.
And I will claim that to the grave.
Yes.
Has Brad Barrett thanked you yet for saving his life, apparently?
Oh, all the stories are coming out. Yeah, no.
Apparently, he saved his life as a junior.
Yeah, he owes everything to me, so... So he should, but he hasn't really thanked me properly. I'm expecting a kind of dinner date.
So it's a true story.
It is. He thinks it's a true story, and let's not get in the way of it.
Quickly, everyone wants to know what does it feel like to get punched by Buckies?
Of course, yeah. I thought that would come up.
that didn't take you long.
Let's get to the point quickly.
You really,
I'm itching the whole day. What does it feel like really, to get punched by Buckies?
Yeah.
You guys got something in common because you also, we'll talk about your punch later, the road to pokey one at Newlands, the one that, you know, got scored for life.
It did.
Buckies are a different animal.
Do you even have a score?
Kind of folded into the age.
What happened? So talk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got a version of that story. I think it's one of John's favorite go-tos,
He tells
after
it all
dinners.
The time.
Yeah. He should get some new material. But he's, the man has hands the size of dinner plates. So when it comes through and it's got kind of the power of a 10-ton truck behind it, it knocks you. And everyone talks about Bucky and how wonderful it is. But to be the guy on the other side of it, I think just to change perspectives here, Bucky had the opportunity to take out his aggression on me scrum after scrum the first time I played South Africa. And he's lauded for it and he's a hero.
Yeah.
Right? But on the other side of that, I had to go into scrum after scrum and take a punch in the face.
To make him a hero.
While I couldn't move.
Matt, I didn't think, you know, when we heard that you were coming on the podcast, I did not think that it would go here, but we are on the couch now. Would you like
to tell us what you're ready
to talk about this?
Is everything okay, Matt? Have you recovered emotionally from it?
I want to ask the question to the two of you. Again, the dark arts of the front row and forwards as such. These days, that can't happen anymore. It can't. Too many cameras.
Well, those days it couldn't happen.
But now it gets picked up by the cameras.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, you got away with it. Well, in my view, certainly the stories that you guys tell, you got away with it. And that's not an isolated case. I'm sure that happened quite a few times. If I look at your face, multiple times. Actually, where were you last night?
Glutton punishment.
Yeah. But is it something that's been lost in the game?
No, it's probably happened in club rugby. The only time that's happened to me is club rugby.
Oh, so you're telling me that they don't have cameras?
No, outside of, well, club rugby, it happens.
But no one has cameras under the scrum in club rugby.
No one has cameras under the scrums. But I mean, you get a hit once. The problem is the next scrum, you're bracing for it and you're expecting it again. Yes. That's probably what happened to you, because it happens once. You think, okay, it's not going to happen
I again. Can't remember, so. Yeah. I mean, I just get told the story.
Yeah, that's the bonus of concussion.
Has John at least given you some money, because he's fed off that story for years?
I think I should get some type of commission for that. I mean.
Yeah. John Smith,
Yeah, John, definitely.
He tells that story all the time.
It changes every time as well.
It does. It adds on, eh?
Yeah.
John, let's talk about your punch.
We can get to Tupoki now. If you listen to John Smith, you can basically take on Dricus du Plessis now with the amount of punches that you've taken.
Wait, he's jiu-jitsu, right?
Yes.
International champ?
No.
Okay.
Black also belt. Added
black added belt. Black belt.
No. Black belt. I was British, but blue belt. Blue belt.
Oh, that's cute.
Guess who the other rugby player who Stan Umanga.
He did jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he's still doing it now.
Cool.
Quite busy.
Yeah.
So you and Drickus, who win then?
Drickus.
Just asking. No, come on, now back yourself.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to take on that celebrity.
How did you get into jiu-jitsu?
After
Bucky's.
After Bucky's, I realized I needed to learn how to protect myself. and jiu-jitsu is one of those things. It can help you take on the bigger guy. So, yeah, Bucky's was a big part of it.
John, do you want to talk about, since you both on the couch, about your Tupoki punch?
No, look, I mean...
Newlands? I think he was a black belt something.
Well, felt like it. Mine's not exactly the same. I had a part to play in this as well. So we play the Blues, 2005. We play the Blues at Newlands, playing for the Stormers. And Ruta Poke is the one centre. And I can't remember who the inside centre was for the Blues at the time, but they got a line break, and I was playing at 13. So they broke through on the inside, and Ruta Poke was running a support line. And as he kind of went, you know, through our back line, I kind of pulled him, you know, pulled his jersey back to hold him back so that I can get in front of him. And as I did that, now he's running full tilt. I'm like going, pulling him back. And as he felt me pulling him back, he just turned around and went, bah!
Wow.
Right here, boom, five
still
stitches.
Still got the scar there, no?
Yeah, 5 stitches there, 15 stitches here, tooth out, just down.
Yeah.
Went off, got stitches, came back on first.
No, you didn't come back on.
I did. Yes, no, I did.
You ran to the newspapers and said, I've been scarred for life.
You would know, because you were sitting on the bench watching all of it.
I was running behind you. I was running behind you, and I just saw this guy drop in front of me.
Gone.
Did someone tell you what happened?
What happened?
No, he didn't get sent off.
Play on.
No, he scored the try from the... So he went through support line, one ruck, scores the try. I think he got like 2 weeks after that.
The good old days, eh?
2 weeks. Back playing.
Yeah. But,
yeah, it has changed a lot.
Talking about the good old days, it's not the first massive lock that has punched me in a rugby game. Also, when I was playing at Bath, we had Danny Grucock, who was a black belt, like sixth Dan in karate, and also very nice man off the pitch, but definitely had
anger issues.
Red mist. But mine wasn't. Mine was self-inflicted because I actually got badly injured against Van Rotenbach in the scrum, which is also not an unusual thing.
Not a small human being.
Yeah. So I'd torn my rotator cuff, which I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
And I'd gone down in the scrum. And Mike Foley, the coach, decided we can take him off and strap it up, or we can take him, but he needs a blood. He needs a blood injury.
Okay.
And obviously, I know there's been some controversy around blood injuries after that. I mean, the big Harlequins, Bloodgate, and all of that. But I was in the circle, and the physio says to me, the only way you can come off and get strapped and come back on is if you get a blood injury. And I look around the circle that I'm in, and the first guy I see, which in retrospect was
not a smart move,
was Danny Grucock. And I said, Danny, can you make me bleed? Now, he was in the middle of the scrum with the whole team around me trying to give me a cut, which he couldn't get right. So I just said, listen, I don't need to be strapped up. It's fine.
Actually, my shoulder's
quite sore. It's miraculous.
You're talking about controversy, guys. Matt, 2007 World Cup final. Afterwards, Daniel Craig and the Princess. How was that night? Apparently, you guys went on a bit of a party.
And the Princess, again, probably reeling from being punched around the park by Buckies. But it was the Princess and Daniel Craig.
The Princess. It sounded as if you said the Princess.
Yeah, I was like,
I did.
I missed out on the Princess.
Well, Scott Burger night, yeah.
What are you telling me?
Also, a few lesser known celebrities. There was. Who's performing here at the moment, the guy from Keen. It was a funny story with him because I was with, I was chatting to William and Harry and they were...
Oh, you're on first name basis.
Yeah, it's like being James Bond, you've got a license to kill.
Yeah.
Chatting to them and then he was in the circle also trying to chat to them. I mean, everyone's trying to like have their moments in the sun. And then... he started referring to, how difficult his life was because he was followed around by the press and how difficult that was.
He wasn't too keen on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good night, though.
It's one of those things, you know. You get to the end of a tournament like that where we were taken to pieces in the pool. By South Africa, and then we staged a comeback, which was actually the incredible part of that whole story, because no one thought we would ever get back to the final.
Scotland against France, was that a try or not?
It wasn't.
Took four minutes. Well, it wasn't awarded.
Yeah, it wasn't awarded. But
was the questioning wrong in the beginning?
It's
because then you need conclusive evidence to award the try. Did we see conclusive evidence?
So I think it's easy for us to sit here and say it was or it wasn't. But I don't think people understand how important that initial question from the referee is.
Yeah.
Because if you say try, then all the camera angles, the TMO, all the other officials need to find a conclusive reason not to award the try. And vice versa. If on the field it is said not to be a try, you need to be able to find conclusive. And conclusive means seeing it right there, the ball touching the ground, over the line, and making sure of all those things. And they couldn't do that on the weekend. So whether it's right or wrong,
but also
what are we to say?
He'd already called no try.
Yep.
So
he said no try, but...
And he was in a very good position to see it. So he was so confident that he didn't think it was a try. He was just checking. So he kind of went through the right processes.
Yeah, I almost
But the
want
first
to say,
question, though, maybe... do you think he should have just said try or no try and leave it up to the TMO? Rather than making a decision and then leaving it up to the TMO to sort of... Then you look 4 minutes of this and, we've all played rugby and you can't really see it, but he slid off the foot, it's over the line, chances are he got it down.
It was a try.
Yeah. So you say it was a try.
It was a try.
Yeah.
If I'm going to give my opinion on what I think it probably was.
You've been in that position before.
It was a try. I think it probably was a try.
Yeah. Can I take a pen? I was pointing at the TV saying it was a try. So I believe it was a try.
Yeah.
But your point, what you just said, in that the referee was probably in the best decision to have been able to make that decision. And his opinion was that it was not a try. So, you know, you take that. What resources do we have? We have the referees on the field who thought it wasn't a try. Plus, then you have the additional technology to help us with it, the cameras. And with that, it also could not conclusively say it was a try. So,
what are you saying?
Stuck with. So, I'm saying...
What do you think it was a try?
I don't know. It doesn't matter what I think.
No, what do you think? I think it was a try.
Yeah,
if you look here, you can see the feet slide over the boots on the other side, hit the boot first and then shift it over onto the ground.
Did you see it on the ground?
Yes, I did.
You are making the assumption that it was a
try. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Did you eat the cake? No.
I think a simpler, maybe keeping it more simple, if you're going to take the pressure off the ref, and give them the ability to do that. And if they go upstairs, maybe it should be full responsibility that just goes upstairs when you go upstairs instead of the ref asking for a decision, a particular decision. So like what you said, try or no try.
Try or no try, leave it up to the TMO.
But.
I know what you're saying, John. You don't see the ball physically touching the ground.
Yes.
What you're saying, what else is it going to touch if he slides off the boot?
How do you know it slid off the boot fully?
Because you can see the two boots there. The yellow boots.
Okay, but I think
what else is going to be? I don't know. It's just logic. where else is it going
to
go?
I don't know. I'm saying use all the resources that you have to be able to make a decision, but you can't make a decision on assumptions.
Yeah, the young Scottish fullback called up on match day. I think 10 a.m.
Patterson. Good. Patterson. Yeah. I mean, you know, what's it? 5-6.
Harry Patterson.
Yeah. 5-6 senior professional game. I played Test match rugby in a pretty big one against France, and you know, you can be very happy with a debut like that. I think a lot of people would take it.
Have you ever had a late call up?
No.
Always in the first choice, eh?
Well,
you've been injured in the warm up.
No, never injured in the warm up. Always during the game. The only late call up I had was actually my first game for Munster
on match day.
Not. Like,
sorry, John. Yeah.
No, just don't worry. Ask the question, then move on.
He's the guest.
Yes, mate.
It's actually the Pretoria game against the Springboks.
Yeah.
It wasn't a first cap, but it was. Yeah, it was. I think it was that game. I can't remember.
She never got that call.
No, but I flew in on the Wednesday before the game. I'd been injured for like a year. And I got pulled in. So, that is quite a late call-up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's very late.
Yeah.
So you would have had, what, Thursday training, captains, and that's it?
Yeah.
Straight into the starting lineup.
Starting lineup.
Scrum.
Not particularly fit either.
at altitude.
Generally? Or that? Does that go?
John, I mean, that's a low blow.
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm asking.
No, I wasn't. I mean, I was on holiday. I think I was on holiday when I got the call, which is always a worrying, you know, getting that call when you're on holiday midway through a pint.
France, after spoke about a backlash after the loss the
to
previous
Ireland?
Weekend. Yeah, to Ireland. France, where do they sit now? I can't. I struggle to see what this French team is doing at the moment. Mm. Lacking
confidence, eh?
Yeah, there's just something there that's missing.
And look, a lot of people have said, you know, it's the hangover of the World Cup and the expectation of the World Cup, not being able to deliver on that. And you kind of get the feeling that's what you're seeing from that French team. And then, you know, you start asking these questions. You know, is that really going on? Is it a happy squad? Can they recover from the... And maybe also understanding the mental side of what they went through.
Yeah.
And the preparation of, you know, they were certain that they would win the World Cup. You know, it definitely comes across that way. And the disappointment of that, the mental side of high performance sport and the effect that it has when you don't live up to the expectations.
Yeah, and they've got that. They're a relatively young team, right? And they've had that.
A lot of them are around for the next World Cup.
Yeah. And they're remote. I mean, France, it's an old cliche, but they're a very emotive sporting country. Having played there, you know, there's a lot of passion and not a huge amount of strategy that goes into like getting ready for a game. You know, it's like, this is our earth. This is what we're going to protect. This is, you know, we're going to go there and die for our countries kind of thing. And then they lose someone who was quite critical in Antoine Dupont, they're a big talisman team, which I always think is a weakness for a international team.
If he goes,
team.
They all fall apart. Yeah. Like they fall apart.
Yeah. So, which is the opposite with Ireland, where they've got depth and experience across the pitch.
But also, Scotland's a good team.
Very.
Are they a good team? 26-0 up, 26-27. Good teams don't, or 27-0, sorry. Good teams go on to win 50, 60 points. This weekend at home, enough possession, enough set
piece
attacking.
What is that based on? What is that based on? Are you saying that?
What I'm saying is, do they have an issue with their game management? Can they close off games? We say they're good, but World Cup, when they needed to do something special against Ireland.
They're the best Scottish team in the last. They're the best of the Scottish.
I think Gregor's a phenomenal coach, what he's done with that team, but they're not getting the result. They've got Finn Russell, who's...
Yeah.
You know, said he's one of the best.
It is a fair question.
You look at them. I don't see you watch their pack. Pierre Schoeman drives a lot of the toughness there.
Jesus.
The rest of the guys, can they really rumble it when it gets, you know, it gets tough? For me, Schoeman can do it. Finn Russell, yes, he can. But in a high pressure game, does he make too many errors? They've got two settle centers in they've got Tupoluto and Jones, two good centers. They've got what's the wing from the
Doohan.
Doohan.
Doohan. Foreign players.
Yeah. Doohan, who actually creates something, when he gets going. But in terms of results, they've had their moments up and up, but not consistently good.
I don't
think. A good half year, a good 28-0 against England. They came back to 28-all, remember?
Yes. Yeah.
That second half. You know, so they've had their moments, but are they as good? They're good though, but. I don't think what have they achieved to you? Then they should be winning Six Nations.
Yeah, but you need to, and I think it's a bit of perspective also. It's a good Scottish team, you know, and whatever that means. Are they good enough to win the Six Nations and beat those teams? Yeah, well, we've seen not yet. Mm. The result against Wales was a massive result for them. Mm. If you take the
22 years, the break, all of that.
They haven't won there. So that shows that that's an achievement in itself. The French
team... They've also been England a couple of times, but Scotland teams haven't done. Okay, fair
enough. So I think, you know, I think your question is very fair. Yeah. And they won't win the trophy. But again, they get past France this week in a game that they could have. So again, so how do you determine whether they're a good side or not? If that is a war, you are saying that was a try. So that means they win the game. So now my question to you, are they a good team now?
If they win.
I'll tell you another one.
No, but
when Duan Fanamova got that intercept done, that's a penalty try. He was offside there. He was never onside.
Yeah, but so your question of...
I think they're an OK team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're... Look, I like the way they play. I enjoy the way... I think they're well coached with what they have. But for me, if you look at... If you say a good team... What are they winning?
But if you go by your account, then they won the game on the weekend because that was a try.
Yeah.
They didn't need to do anything differently. They won that game.
Yeah.
They're still unbeaten then in the Six Nations.
Yeah.
So I think we'll only be able to truly say whether they are good enough.
At the end.
After playing England, after playing Ireland. And Ireland, you know, they've set the barometer in terms of what, you know, beat us. It's like big red flag, beat us. And then you can you know, stake a claim. But at this stage, it's Ireland and kind of the rest.
I think the difference between Ireland and Scotland is the buy-in of the kind of the unions. In Ireland, you know,
The whole organizational structure,
the way they're like a New Zealand in that sense. Yeah. They all play the same type of rugby.
Yeah.
The academies are brilliant. And I think Scotland have taken a leaf out of that book. I don't know if the funding in Scotland is nearly at what it is in England and Ireland, but you know, I mean, there's definitely been a significant improvement. Back the glory days of the Hastings brothers and all of that when they were last like contenders to win things. I think this is the this is it's a growth period for Scotland, sure, and I think people can take a lot of heart out of that. Scottish fans can take a lot of heart out of that.
Where would you rank, okay, Matt, sorry, John, where would you rank the Scottish team compared to others? You mentioned the glory days of the Hastings brothers. The Scottish team, in terms of talent and potential, it's got to be up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's got to be up there.
And again, I comparing because it's different era.
Sure. I just mean from the Scottish rugby psyche took a big, like a big hit, and it's been over the last, I don't know, 10 years where the Scottish have taken that professional journey. Their uptick on that was they were later to the game than other people. In terms of like the systems and the structures and the funding to like make them contenders.
And I think the with what you've said, Matt, don't underestimate the foreign influence, eh? I mean, we joke about it a lot about the players playing, you know, for the Scotland team now, but don't underestimate that. And also the influence of coaches coaching there, you know, foreign coaches bringing IP to that organisation. You have a Franco Smith, you've got
Sean Everett there now.
Yeah, Sean there at Edinburgh, Sean Everett. So, you know, all of that.
De Villiers is doing the scrums.
Yeah. Mm. So all of that kind of adds to, you know, the IP that you can use to eventually take what you have, but also not adding to it. And I think they're going about it in the right way. We've got a Scottish coach, Scottish captain, but then all these others add to it, you know, add kind of to the, you know, so it still remains Scottish but you're adding to it. So I think it's definitely helped them because they only have a pool of two professional teams to select from.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a lot. You want to be able to increase that.
MVP for me in the Scottish game is Piers Schoeman.
Oh,
Without a doubt.
I mean, how many carries does he make?
Carries, he makes meters the whole time.
It's insane. The power tactic. And the... I was just amazed.
Because the chat's always around Finn Russell and we know what he can do, but it's done up front. Real work.
If we...
just agree with me, the real work.
No, the real work, it's done up front. Definitely not.
Yes, just agree with us.
Why is he getting closer?
Just a bit closer, Matt. He's a jiu-jitsu, whatever, blue belt.
If we had to... If we had to select the Lions team now, how many Scottish players make the team? And how many actually in contention?
Duan,
Finn, well, Finn Russell.
We'll
Finn
make Russell the make squad, definitely. Yeah.
Schoeman definitely in.
I would definitely pick Schoeman.
Which other? Better than a Genge, better than...
It's got to be in there.
Porter.
No, I just mean in the greater squad. But
he's asking questions.
Quite a few that could be in contention, eh?
Yeah.
Ben White.
Ben White's there, yeah. He's there. Finn Russell, Duan. Jonesy?
Maybe. Those two as a combination play really well together. Tui Peloto and Hugh Jones.
The kicking law, John. I mean, the DuPont law is called. The kicking and the guy waits. And does that need a change? Because what we're seeing now, it's basically become a glorified game of gainers.
No, it's terrible, eh?
Yeah.
What was that?
The kicking law. Do you know what it is?
Yes.
It's a DuPont. It's a silent T, by the way. I stole this last week.
Okay. DuPont.
DuPont, yeah.
It spoils it a bit, doesn't it? You know, you don't like seeing a guy catching the ball and the opposition team being 10 meters away and just standing waiting there.
Well, to someone who doesn't watch a huge amount, as much rugby as you, it was a big shock to me
you don't watch seeing a huge it amount in action. Rugby and he's on our show.
Yeah. I know. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
But I watch.
Thanks for your honesty. Thank you very much.
No, this is
cut. Thank you. You're such a great guy.
Why are we listening to this guy? No. It was. It's quite shocking to see that. Like that.
But exactly that point.
I tell you what, the Springboks in Marseille the year before the World Cup.
Yeah.
France did that. What did they do? How good was that game?
They ran it.
And the box said, "Thank you very much." One pass, run it up, create a ruck, kick it back, contestable, or have a go the whole time.
Yeah.
So there is opportunity. You don't have to kick it back. And that goes down to the mindset of the team there.
But if what are we trying to achieve with rugby globally? You want to expand the game. You want to introduce new people to it. You know, as you were saying, you know, yes, former player, but you don't watch it every single week. But a Six Nations, big tournament, you watch Now you watch it again. You're like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. You know, and it just leaves a bad taste. So
did you watch the Super Bowl final?
I didn't.
A lot of people watch that. There's no ball in play there. And it takes about 4 hours.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other things outside of ball in play to attract people to rugby.
So what did you say?
No, you said ball in play to what
we're trying to do. I didn't say ball in play. I said product.
The product. Yeah, the product could get better.
Yes.
But I mean, you watch a friend of mine that watched it said, what's this all about? Wayne Rooney actually said something. He said, it's boring. It's like watching paint dry. And all of that. But I mean, it's one of the most watched sports.
The Super Bowl.
One of the most watched sporting events in the world.
Yeah, because there's so much more to it.
Yeah, there's so many moving parts, I suppose, if you understand the game.
Yeah. And I don't.
Kansas City Chiefs won.
You got to marvel at the athleticism and the spectacle of it.
Yeah, a rugby player.
Well, especially Shimmy. Yeah.
No, but also, you compare rugby players to NFL players. Okay, Lewis Rees-Hammett gone to NFL. But you take a defender, is it the blocker? What's it, the big guys in NFL?
Well, if you got the ball or without the ball? So the offensive line. Offensive so from the quarterback, the guys are protecting
you. Yes.
Yeah.
But one job. That's all you do.
Yeah.
You stop that guy.
Thank you. 23 million a year later.
Yeah, but also you literally run how many? You run 100 meters in a game. We're in rugby.
But Sean, you just said you don't understand the game. Understand it first and then we can check.
Okay, no, but I'm just saying.
Understand the game
mind,
first.
In my
you're very
mind,
opinionated about something you don't
it's very
understand.
Very good for highlights.
I'm trying to tell you guys as
but you're very opinionated.
Forwards in rugby. Still
but
that
you don't
big,
understand the game.
Still that big, still being able to stop people, but also running kilometers, having a good,
no, rugby's
good
a beautiful
skill
game.
Set,
we love the game.
All of that. So that's what I'm saying. You guys are actually unbelievable.
I know. Unbelievable, phenomenal.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How we move around the park.
So.
It's a miracle.
It's not ready. Let me tell you that.
England against
it's
Wales.
It's so hot in here.
Why sweating?
Get off the couch. England against Wales. Happy with what you saw.
I mean.
Did you watch the game?
Yes. Okay. When I said I don't watch as much rugby as you guys.
Great victory for Wales.
Trying to catch me there. I think it's a game. It's an England team that's again building into a new strategy. You know, like they're having to rethink what they are again, and losing again. I think you know someone who doesn't have the popularity of Dupont.
Dupont.
Très bien.
Yeah. Oui. Owen Farrell was a talisman for that team, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and builds up.
But I tell you what, England I think have won 8 out of their last 9 games or something. And the last 20 minutes, they know how to manage a game well. Yeah. They've been behind, even against Italy, not a great start, under pressure. You know, the World Cup was probably, the World Cup semi is the one they butchered the last 20 minutes. But every other game, in the last 20 minutes, there is something going on there where it's ugly. Well, it's not pretty, but they're getting through, which is always a good sign. Now they just need to start playing some rugby.
Getting it done. And unfortunately, you know, over a long period of time, they... You know, that's going to go against them at times as well, because I think too many times they rely on individual brilliance to actually get the win. And that for me was Benall on the weekend. He's tried.
Jesus. Did you see the Saracens guy's ears light up?
Yeah.
Oh, what a player.
Here's my series buddy. What a player.
He's a specimen, that guy. Hey? I'd left by then, but he's a specimen. Jeez.
You can never.
Reminds me of Richard Hill back in the day.
He's an athlete.
Oh, another Saracen.
Yeah.
But he is an athlete.
I was at Bath.
But you, you're
pretty
sure
the best
13.
In the air at the back.
Oh,
the
what? Unbelievable.
No, but wait, let me get to Benall. Okay. You're playing against 13. So from a Wales point of view, young Wales team, you have a scrum on your own line. You're playing against 13. The eighth man pick with a bit of a wheel. The eighth man pick and goes and runs straight through and scores a try. I mean, you can never allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And that's where they lost the game. You know? His strength and
I think he doesn't look the biggest or tall, but
he's being able to bounce. You know, he's quick off the mark as
leg
well.
Drive.
And that was a difference. And that's
is his best position open side though, because obviously you got Underhill there.
Yeah.
Is he a natural eight or an open sider?
I like him at 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a high work rate. I suppose we saw you
just the height. The
height thing, been there for so
the
long.
The height thing goes against him because you want an eight who's a good line-out option and better in the air. But yeah, I think he's the kind of exception to that that proves the rule, you know.
And I think I mentioned Oz Skulk in the previous episode that we did. I think it's more the combination of the loose Joe,
yeah, rather than the balance, the individual, that's true.
You know, getting that balance and having guys that can fulfill that role.
Underhill's big massive hit on Gareth Thomas. What's the biggest hit you've gotten? Received or no? None.
Plenty. Sam Tuitupa.
Oh, she was the rocket.
Yeah.
Scrum cap.
Sam Tuitupa at under 21 level.
Yeah.
We played.
I remember the game. It was at Joburg Stadium. UJ. Yeah.
We played.
You guys just won it, right? Just won it.
He smashed me. And then he was like over me shouting like that. We got the penalty.
We got the penalty.
We got the penalty. Like, but yeah, it was. No, he could hit, eh?
Yeah.
Sammy.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, any of the Tuolagi's.
Buggies, Twitter.
Buggies.
I was smashed by Richard Bands once. That wasn't funny. At Loftus. Remember that? We got that hiding once. You played the game, eh? Yeah. Loftus.
The big score. Yeah. I played.
Well, was it just a straight? It wasn't a spear attack or anything like that.
So I looked at the stadium. It hit me so hard when I looked upside down. I was looking at the stadium. You could actually see
the little birds tweeting.
Get up, and Gary Boyd was very quick to tell me what just happened. So he sort of.
I'm sure.
let me get out of here.
But you're right, the Tuolagi brothers. Eh?
Yeah.
You don't want to.
But I think I've been hit by every single one of them.
Yeah. I've had Manu, I've had Alessana. That was actually
you played with all of them, isn't it?
Yeah, no, just with
Manu. At least, Manu, just Manu, yeah.
But so Alessana.
How's the youngest?
I'll tell you what, talking about Samoan players, Trevor Leota.
Oh,
Wasps.
Yeah. Yes, Trevor Leota.
If I avoided running towards a player, it was Trevor Leota. Because remember he had this
peroxide head. When did you play, Trevor?
We played, Stormers played against Wasps and he was playing there.
Yeah.
And then when he played for Free State, he played against Samoa.
I didn't know
I think he injured three of the players that came.
So he played for Samoa against Free State.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so every time, and he played for Free State also, and he played club rugby here.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He just smashed everybody in club rugby, sort of get the ball and you're looking, okay, where's this guy? Because he's quite short. And when he comes at you, he hits you properly.
Yeah.
We used to
call him Ram Man.
Yeah. Oh, was that?
Ram Man, the cartoon hero that's like a... Ram Man.
Like
I mean, that was my first game for Bath against Wasps. And yeah, that was a sight to see. It was just like seeing like
The Ram Man.
speeding, I don't know, tank. Just coming through and just absolutely living people. And I don't think that was the start of when you saw these big,
his tackles were something else there.
Yeah.
But they were legal though. It would be allowed nowadays, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
What it was the good old days, guys.
Around the chest area. Yeah. He was about this high. Anyway,
no, he didn't tackle high.
Yeah.
He just tackled all of you.
Everything.
Guys, Wales, good energy about them. I must say, I'm enjoying watching.
Yeah.
A young team, but they give it properly there.
I'm again going to go back and say, you know, from an England point of view, being able to be two guys down, scoring a try within that period, you know, that's the difference. So you were mentioning how they've been able to manage the game in the last 20 minutes. They were able to manage the game when they had players in the bin. And it drains you. It drains you when you know, in the moment you might not concede, but later on in the game, you actually concede and they were able to get through it, you know. So again, sticky game, but a gritty game and they got the result. So I think that's a positive that England will take out of it. Two games in a row, not pretty, but getting results. And
now they come into their finals,
and
right?
They'll get better,
with England, like what have they got to come with Scotland and then it's Ireland and then France for a final game, right? That's correct.
I'm not even sure.
I think it's Scotland next, and that's the if they can get through that Calcutta Cup, which always has a bit of like pomp and
got a bit of
spice.
And if you play, and I think it's in Scotland, I think it's at Murrayfield, I mean, that's just like going to play there.
That's the one you
for
want
England,
to watch, actually. Yeah.
I mean, everyone hates you when you England wherever they go, you know, but. When you go to play at Murrayfield, there's a, I mean, it's not, I mean, hate is a strong word, but there's a real like tension around that match. Hate. Yeah. Do you hate us?
No, not at all. Not at all. The Welsh lads, apparently good on Lions trips.
And the Irish.
Is it?
The Irish and the Welsh. Well, the Welsh are the Welsh are the choir.
And not the Scottish.
Scottish. What's wrong with the Scottish guys?
No. You know what? It's special. Right? Lions is a special thing to be part of. I mean, for both the team playing them and the Lions group itself. But you make friendships for life, and it's a real mix. And everyone's thrown into this like melting pot between the nations, and they really come together. Each Lions tour is different how it happens, but yeah, the Irish and the Welsh are pretty good at like bonding the group, because the English and the Scottish are dour, like very funny, generally quite dry, yeah, but quite quiet,
and usually minority of the group,
usually they're less Scottish players, and then the Welsh are they kind of the jokers and the singers. They bring that like they really
are. Straight up your game.
They can really all sing.
Yeah.
I mean, not as well as you. Yeah, of course.
Tell me your favorite Lions moments.
Oh, so many. I mean, I was a tourist for both. So yeah. It was about like about the midweek games for me. So a little bit, you know, looking back in retrospect.
Big Friday night then. Midweek is always a big Friday.
Well, I mean, I always say I think Warren Gatland picked me to be social chair on the, because it's an important role.
Of course.
I mean, yeah, course. I don't think we would have beaten Australia that, yeah, without the caliber of the social chairman in that tour. No, it's such a different tour than whatever you go on, because it's not barbarians, you know, it's not that kind of, it's not loose. There's a lot of anticipation around it. I think that Australia, you know, winning in Australia was incredible, you know, and being part of that group. There's so many moments.
I love the Lions tour. I love the history of it, and also the specialness
Six Nations,
of yeah. But also
one Lions question
specialness about playing against the Lions series, and I don't think people realize how difficult it is, because you speak about hate or not liking each other, but you do that in the Six Nations a couple of months later, now you're one team.
Yeah.
And it's only a couple of weeks, and you have to perform as a team in a high pressure situation, massive expectations, and an opportunity that only comes around every four years.
Yeah. And the Six Nations is the Lions.
Yeah.
Because that is the tournament, the Six Nations, the
trials.
The ultimate of the Six Nations is making that Lions team.
England, 2-from-2, the blitz defense, obviously that's sort of topical at the moment. There are some areas there. So I think Warren Gatland sort of managed to get around it, sometimes through it, you know, that inside pass where the try was scored. Against Ireland, what do England do? Because you make those mistakes against Ireland, that's worth two or three tries.
Yeah, that'll be a tough learning school for them. But also, you get it right a couple of times, you get confidence from it. So apparently, a lot of people commented on our comments on Felix and being the defence coach now, etc. And you know, that's not a go at him at all.
It was never a go.
Coach. Yeah. I mean, he's a brilliant guy, and we saw what he did for South Africa, and you know, a guy that I played with as well. So, only respect for him. But what he wants to achieve with that group will take time, and unfortunately, there'll be losses along the way to be able to get to the eventual goal. The ultimate test, I think, will be against Ireland, dry field, because you're going to be tested and pictures thrown at you that you have not seen before, and then they have to manage that. Yeah, so,
the other risk you take is you say, listen, I'll wait against Ireland, and you lose anyway.
You can't.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't let those Irish guys come into all their long.
Yeah, you got
it. Exactly.
It was interesting because they started in the interviews. I think it was Ben Earls was talking about the England way, and often it's about getting into this process where you might lose these games.
Yeah.
But it's actually going, but we believe in the process.
Yes. You've got momentum.
Stick to it.
Yeah.
And by sticking to it, we will sharpen our sharpen our armor against guys like Ireland. And if they lose, but they lose and put them under pressure,
yes,
or if they win, then they just cement the reason what they do is going to work. Because we've all seen this blitz defense work. It works.
Yeah.
If you do it well. And I think England are the right kind of structured team to make it work. They've got enough of a pack to do that.
Ireland against Italy. James Lowe.
Quality Ireland team.
Yeah.
You're still being able to make the changes that they made in the starting team. Kalyn Dorris, I think we mentioned already. You know, he's the future, I suppose, from an Ireland point of view. Kalyn or Keelan?
Kalyn. Is it Kalyn? Okay. No, I'm just checking. No, I thought it was Kalyn Dorris.
C-A-E-L-E-N.
You corrected us about, you created this culture of correcting people around names.
No, why?
I said DuPont, and you said, no, it's a silent T, DuPont.
Who said it?
I'm just saying. Is it Kalyn or Kalyn?
No,
we'll call him Mr. Dorris.
I think it might be Kalyn. I think it might be Kalyn.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not an expert on...
That's Tig.
And Tig.
Dorris.
Dorris, yeah.
You know,
you forgot what you were saying.
Next generation as well coming through and being able to make all those changes and still not miss a beat. Yeah, impressive. Nulling the opposition. So cool. Not just from an attacking point of view being good, but also defensively. And Italy didn't play badly.
There's a school of thought saying that all the Italian team would have taken 50, 60. These guys hung in, they showed fight. But I think, is it Giovanni, the wing? You could hear him when the captain was, and they sort of went to the circle and he was going off at them. So it's clearly an Italian team that's tired of losing.
Sure.
And they want to chase a bit more.
Well, they've probably also been sparked by everyone saying, you know, is this Italian team? Should it be in the Six Nations? You know, that type of thing is the way to light a fire under the Latin players in that group.
Maddie, I don't know, did you watch that little kid singing the anthems in the beginning?
No.
I didn't see that either.
Come on, guys.
I didn't watch the anthem.
Best thing ever, mate.
What, was it the Italian anthem?
No, the Irish anthem. Singing. The kid must have been 8 or 9 years old.
And he was on the mic.
World class.
Amazing. Like
a young Matt Stevens. Brilliant. You know, you got to watch it.
That's very cool.
What are you guys, the guys that record the game, you fast forward the anthems? That's the whole thing, the history, the traditions of Six Nations.
Sure.
You got to watch that.
I mean, when you commentate, I even mute it.
You change languages. Your Afrikaans is a lot better now. Every time I commentate, your Afrikaans improves.
No, I love you, Shem.
Eh?
I love you.
We're going to Durban together this weekend.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Don't ignore me when I call you Saturday night after the game for a dinner.
I'm not available then.
Maddie, your singing career, obviously a renowned singer.
Just round it off, eh?
Just to finish off here. Talk us through it.
Let's get to dessert.
Talk us through. I mean, you know, a man of many talents.
Just talk us through it.
You're in the middle of the scrum one day, next thing you're singing. You're X Factor, eh? You're an X Factor.
Don't tell me you didn't watch it.
You're in the final of X Factor.
You watched it.
I did my research.
You're asking me about it.
The final of X Factor.
Yeah, the celebrity X Factor. It was over 10 days.
Stop it.
No one knew who I was in the beginning of it. Because it was like
You're mentored by Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon Osbourne. You know the most like surreal dinner of my life?
Okay.
Was she took me for a Chinese, Michelin star Chinese dinner. The Dorchester Hotel, which in the basement of the Dorchester, with the whole Osborne family.
Oh, cool.
No, it was so awkward. It was so weird, yeah.
There must have been plenty of chat, though.
It was amazing. But also, she invited my whole family, who was mum, dad,
cool,
Ozzy. the two kids fighting each other at the table. You know, it was like the Osbournes. You remember the reality?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I was in the reality show in the Dorchester.
But you were
eating chop suey, you know, like it was weird.
Good experience.
But cool as well.
Very.
Weird and cool.
But where did the singing come from? Was that from your days at Kersney?
Yeah, Kersney was...
what's your go-to song?
Oh, yeah. You're building up to this, huh?
You got to give us one now. Matt, you have to.
You two, cheeky smiles.
What's your go-to song? What's
here? Well, basically, we're just getting him here to sing a song. Doesn't know anything about rugby.
Get him, man.
No, but let me give Kersney a plug. Okay. Amazing school with an incredible cultural.
You want to do it into camera or just?
No, no, he says unashamedly, let me give Kersney a pun. Oh, so let's go.
Yeah, yeah. So amazing school with an incredible cultural department, and choir has been a big part of what they do, and they're a big feeder school for Drakensberg boys.
Okay.
So they've gone to the Choir Olympics a number of times and won gold there.
Yeah.
And I was part of the choir from Standard 5. I joined Kersney at Standard 5 right through to Matric. Was one of the heads of choir in Matric. And it was a big thing. And it was actually, you know, seen as something positive and great that a lot of rugby players in the choir at the time were singing in the choir and playing rugby on Saturday.
Does Paul Jim have that?
No.
I don't know,
eh? We have a choir.
We have a choir.
Remember, we are boys and girls school. It's
so you've got lots of sopranos.
Yeah. What's the soprano? Is that the high?
That's the high one?
I can't sing, guys. I can't. I love music. I think it's fantastic.
£125,000.
Wikipedia has been
Come on,
hurt.
You're on the box office here. Yeah. Donated to the Nelson Mandela Foundation. You got to meet him also.
I did. That was incredible, actually.
Probably one of the
fortunate things we've had, John, also, I think.
But that was...
To meet the man, yeah.
Towards the end of his...
Yeah, yeah.
What year was that? Well, do you remember?
You know, I was walking out... what's the house called that? He obviously wasn't president at the time. It was this house in Melrose or something in Joburg and
Houghton, isn't it?
Houghton.
I've done my research. Yeah,
yeah, well done. And walking out, so I knew I was like the dog's dinner with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Walking out from just meeting him, the poor guy had to see me next.
Oh, so the.
Security?
They were your opening act.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And then, after that, I knew, you know, he was very kind to me. Very kind to me.
Beyond play.
Exactly. Tell me, guys, Ireland, who's going to stop Ireland?
Can they
be stopped?
We'll have to wait for July.
Can they be stopped, though?
Absolutely.
Well, they're coming, yeah. We'll stop them, yeah?
In the Six Nations?
Yeah.
it's difficult to see them...
It's difficult to see them lose. Yeah. But they can be stopped.
Of course they can, but it's a well-oiled machine. Mm. And I think that's credit to that environment as well, is being able to take world-class players out, just replace them, and they don't lose a beat.
The depth,
They've been really impressive. And
Since the World Cup, or is just the same old Six Nations you're seeing?
I think
Ireland playing good rugby.
I think it's just the same.
The same, right?
The consistency of that team for the last 2-3 years have been immense.
Well, you see Ireland lose Sexton, France lose Dupont, and you have, you see the difference in those two, because Sexton was absolutely a talisman for Ireland.
Of course.
But then it seems to work just as well.
Yeah,
without him, which is testament to the structures and the team and the coach. I think Andy Farrell's a great coach.
Yeah, and the other guys there, don't underestimate their sister. You know, Paul O'Connell
Paulie's incredible, and he bleeds Ireland as well. Yeah, he'd be good for their team spirit.
Matt, you played again alongside Andy Farrell. Did you think he'd be such a good coach?
Yes, absolutely. I actually played with Andy. Farrell for the 2007 World Cup, that whole stretch through. Oh. I mean, it wasn't that he was such a consummate professional and competitor that he was able to pick up rugby and make the England team, and he was a huge value add in the England team just from competitiveness alone.
Because he only had 2-3 years in
Union. Yeah, and they started at back row, which is I think a big jump for a league player to go into back row. He was great, and we were good mates. And he's also he loves to sing as well. Sings beautifully.
Are you going to give us a song? We're begging you.
And let me finish. So Andy and then I played with his son when he was the coach at Saracens. And I've actually known Owen since he was a 10-year-old. coming through the ranks, because he would come through and like be in the background when the team were touring with England.
Does he call you Uncle Matt now when you see him?
No, Owen's always been fully grown, eh?
Yeah. Tommy, player of the week.
Oh.
It's so difficult to look past Ireland every week because they're so
consistent. So James Lowe?
Yeah. As one of the match.
I was going to say, I thought James Lowe was
incredible. Ben Earl in trying circumstances?
Look, that try for me, that standout moment, probably the rest of his game, thereabouts.
James Lowe?
No, Ben Earl.
Yeah, no.
But James Lowe, solid. James Lowe.
I'm not just copying you. But I would have gone Ben Earl as well as a second. I'm always impressed when wingers clear rucks like that.
Huh? Yeah.
Always fills me with a bit of warmth.
Look, another guy, look, Wales going through a tough time, but Tommy Raffle. Is it Tommy Raffle or Rifle? Raffle, the Leicester flanker?
Flanker, yeah.
Yeah.
Rifle.
Is it Rifle or Raffle?
No.
I don't know. Tommy.
Raffle. Yeah, great player.
We'll call him Raffle. Yeah, but he's... He's for me as, you know, you look at a young Welsh team, he's at the bottom of he's doing all the ugly things there. You know, son turns up, you know, gives Wales energy, gets the turnover.
Yeah.
For me, he's one of the players that has stood out probably in a tough team.
Look, they were competitive, Wales. So
and disciplined, eh?
Yeah. So, I mean, young team, you know, even with Costello injured as well, Johan Evans, we're struggling with Evans as a fly off.
Yeah, he's
done well.
He was decent.
You know, so it's like they're building a nice brand and a nice little group with not too much baggage from past seasons. You know, so
there's fire in the Welsh, yeah.
Yeah, but
the dragon's again, alive.
Is it? You know, if it's good enough to win or to lose games closely. It's not really, is it?
You're going back to that Scotland debate again.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
You're not over that one.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. That's it for the week. I've just seen now. Next week, we're going to interview or take a deep dive into a very special guest career. So I don't know who the guest is, to be honest with you. Jean, do you know? You'll find out next week on the box office.
Your preparation's
Preparation's very good. Matt, thank you very much, man.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been good fun. We'll get the song out of you next time. We'll save that.
Yeah.
The next time you're
leave them wanting more, they always say.
You know, when you watch the.
So we've got a very special guest next week.
We do.
And we're going to be taking a deep dive into his career.
Yes.
Okay.
We're not going to tell you. But when you watch like shows and then, you know, the music in the background that kind of fades away, we can do it with this show now with Matt. Just
where he sings and then the
what do you call it?
What's your go-to song, Matt? Just out of credits.
The credits.
Yeah, the credits.
That's the word. The credits.
What's your go-to song?
Okay, go.
You know, it's one of my worst nightmares because I don't know if they do with do you have to sing as initiation for the Springboks? No, it's just beating.
I had to add Munster, I'm bad.
Yeah, so they make you sing.
Yeah.
And everyone knew I was a singer.
Yeah.
I sang a lot. I always sang at the back of the bus with the guitar. It was a whole thing.
Mm.
And I did my first cap and you have to get up. Yeah. What I didn't realize is they boo you continually through the whole song. So it doesn't matter if you're shit or you're great. And it really hurt my ego.
Get back on the couch.
No, back on the couch.
What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to sing the whole song through.
Yeah.
Even though they're booing you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. So I kept changing the song. Going, but what do you guys want me to sing? I'll sing anything you want. Stop booing. Yeah, it was a low point.
So you went through your whole repertoire.
Mm, yeah. And everyone
2 days later.
2 days
still
later.
Still booing. He's not going to sing.
When does the dry patch end? It's from, you said...
Friday.
So it's from the 10th till...
No, man, 10th of January.
No, you said the 10th
of January. 10th of January. 10th of January.
Tonight. What's the date on Friday? That's the 17th.
It's like dry January. 17th. Dry January, but I didn't want to take up the nice days in the beginning of January.
The first 10.
You know what? You know why you know someone's on dry January? Because they tell you. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing.
Okay, cool. All the best with that. Matt, thank you very much. It's been great, JDV. We'll talk about us. Well, we'll interview our special guest next week. He's very, very special. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next week for another action-packed show of the box office, which is now closed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.